me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Jenna Lee.
So what are we talking about this week?
We're going to talk about a former movie theater that was located beneath a former horse racing track. And the story of this theater is wrapped up in a theme that we invoke regularly here on Abandoned Manitoba.
Where do we start?
We start in 1920. That's the year that cattleman James Spears came to Manitoba, and he became a major player in Winnipeg's horse racing community. In 1922, for example, he became involved in a track at the former River Park. Doesn't exist anymore. It was located around the junction of Jubilee and Osborne. In 1924, he opened a racetrack at Whittier Park. Well, it's gone today, too. And in 1925, he built a large new racetrack just beyond the edge of the city on Portage Avenue across the street from a graveyard. This oval track was 3/4 mile in length, and in its center there was a grassy field. And the idea was that field was useful for games of football, baseball, rugby, and polo. The name of the facility? Polo Park. Next to the track was a grandstand with room for 4,000 spectators. There was a horse stable for all the horses from the polo grounds, and there was a clubhouse for the Manitoba Jockey Club.
And actually in the mall, you might see the statue on the second floor
in
the food court area. So how long was Polo Park used for horse racing?
The last race occurred in 1956. And now to set the stage for what came later, 2 years earlier, in 1954, the American retailing giant Sears Roebuck and Company joined with a Canadian firm, Simpsons, in a venture they called Simpson Sears Limited. Now this company, Simpson Sears, wanted to open a department store here in Winnipeg, so company executives flew into the city to look at possible sites for the building. They decided that Polo Park was the preferred site, so they approached James Spears about his willingness to sell. I have to say, at first, he was not interested, but he gradually warmed to the idea, and part of the reason was that he had wanted to build a larger facility that had more space than was available at Polo Park. So, ultimately, he agreed to sell on the condition that Polo Park would remain open for racing for 2 more racing seasons, 1955 and 1956, and in the meantime, he would search for a new site for the track. Unfortunately, Spears never saw his plan come to fruition. He died suddenly of a heart attack in July 1955. The task of finalizing plans for the development of a new track, known as Assiniboia Downs, fell to his daughter, Anna Spears. Meanwhile, back at Polo Park, the facility that had been there was demolished in late 1956, and construction of the site began in 1957. Assiniboia Downs, meanwhile, opened in 1958, and the Polo Park Shopping Center, Manitoba's first shopping mall, opened in 1959. A very auspicious year. Happens to be the year I was born.
What did the shopping center look like then?
Well, it was quite a different thing from its appearance today. The Simpson Sears department store opened in May of 1959, and the plans called for a second department store to the north, in between which there was, you know, these two large stores on each end. There would be anywhere from 45 to 70 smaller shops on either side of a large open sort of walking area, the mall. Unlike today, the mall was a single story, and it was not covered by a roof. This roof would be added 4 years later in 1963. Because the mall was open to the sky, it had things like water fountains, flower beds, shrubs, trees planted at places along its length, and there were concrete benches every so often where weary shoppers could rest. Surrounding the stores were huge parking lots to facilitate parking by the shoppers.
Who owned the Polo Park Shopping Center?
Well, Simpson Sears owned a 15-acre site where its store was located, but the shopping mall itself was owned by several Winnipeg businessmen, along with a Montreal-based investment firm that was controlled by the Bronfman family. They were the ones that also had interests in liquor distilling through the company Seagram's.
And where does the movie theater come into the story?
Okay, well, say the mall opened in 1959. 3 years later, 1962, construction began on the theater. And it was said to be unique in three ways. First, it was the only underground movie theater in all of Canada. Second, it was the first example in Manitoba of what we now call a multiplex theater. In other words, it could show more than one movie at a time. And in the case of this theater, there were two theaters for simultaneous movie showing. And the third, it featured what we might call art films, you know, rather than Hollywood blockbusters. So when it opened in 1962, June, as the Pace Theater, it opened with two films. One was called A Summer to Remember, and that was a Russian language film with subtitles. And the other was Black Orpheus, a Portuguese language film that in 1960 had received the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film.
How did the theater do?
Well, not so well. The Pace Theater closed in 1966, you know, fewer than 4 years after it opened. I did find mentions in old newspapers to the damaging effects of the new medium of television. People were watching their TV at home instead of going to the movie theaters. But I suspect in this case, the main reason for the closure was probably the Pace's fare of foreign language films. They just weren't as popular with Winnipeg moviegoers as I think its owners had hoped. The space that was occupied by the Pace was acquired by the Famous Players Corporation, of course, a major player in the movie operation even today in Canada. But it remained unused, the theater itself, for a couple of years until, in 1968, the multiplex was reverted back to a standard single-screen theater with new projection equipment. In other words, it became just like all the other theaters around Winnipeg, and it was renamed the Polo Park Cinema. It reopened in January of 1969, and it operated for 25 years until it closed permanently in January 1994. And incidentally, the last movie that it showed was a movie called Sister Act 2, starring Whoopi Goldberg.
I remember that film. So is the theater still there underneath the shops of Polo Park Mall?
Well, one of my friends used to work for Polo Park's management company, and she told me that she had seen the former theater. The space is still there, but the projection equipment is gone. The room still has a sloped floor where the theater seats were located, but the space is now used mainly for storage of old files.
Gordon, you said something at the beginning about a theme for today's conversation. What did you mean?
Well, you know, there's so much about our subject today that speaks to changing social preferences of the mid to late 20th century. You know, arguably, for example, the opening of Polo Park and later, other suburban shopping malls hastened the downfall of Winnipeg's downtown core as a major shopping center. Of course, at one time, Eden's and the Bay, major draws, but of course, today, both gone. You know, our shopping preferences continue to change too. You know, although malls have not gone extinct, I do think their best years may be behind them. You know, witness the transformation that Polo Park itself has undergone in the past few years. That original anchor store, Simpson Sears, well, it's gone. And people are increasingly doing their shopping either in big box stores elsewhere or in online stores. So there is, in fact, now a bold proposal to redevelop the area around Polo Park with a mixture of commercial and residential buildings. And meanwhile, our movie preferences have changed too, as we find ourselves increasingly wanting to view movies in the comfort of our own home rather than in a public theater. You know, so I think the life and death of the Polo Park Cinema is indicative of changing preferences for both shopping and entertainment in Manitoba. Meanwhile, they're still horsing around out at Assiniboia Downs.
Thanks for this, Gordon. Now, can you give us a clue about next week's episode?
Well, for the past year, listeners may remember that I've been researching and writing a book that is based on our weekly conversations here. The title of that book is On the Road to Abandoned Manitoba. And next week, We'll talk about what readers will find in my new book, which has just been published.
Looking forward to that. Thanks so much, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in love.